Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hi, and so this is Virgie Rodriguez for A Race of Your Own, where inspiration leads to resilience. And today's guest, I'm really excited to have because I've known her for a long time and she's amazing. All right. Graduate from Hampton University with a bachelor's degree in mass media arts, focusing on advertising and public relations. She's moved to L.A. in pursuit of a dream to write and eventually create her own shows. She worked as a writer's assistant on both shows for Jamie Foxx and The Moesha Show the first year she moved out to L.A. She's worked on BET's Plus's All the Queen's Men, where she wrote on episodes and seasons for season 3, 4, and 5. She's written shows for TV shows like Oddballs for Netflix, Born Again Virgin, Let's Stay Together, Second Generation Wayans, and My Life and Kids for ABC. Welcome, Valencia Parker.
No, you said My Life and Kids, and it was My Wife and Kids.
I said life? No, yes. I said wife. Did I say wife or did I say life?
Sounded like
I
wife.
I did. It's for My Wife and Kids for okay. ABC.
Did it's I say an old life? Show. It was way back in the
sometimes
day.
Sometimes I have my wife.
Oh, I know.
It's all sometimes good. I kind of stumble over my words. But anyway.
As long as you get All the Queen's Men right, because that's the latest show.
That's the latest one.
And that's the one you should be watching now on BET Plus.
I have seen it and I like it.
I'm glad.
I really do like it.
It's my first showrunner gig.
Is it?
It is.
Was it your first showrunner gig?
Mm-hmm. How and it's a that? Drama. I've done all comedy until I did this show.
I love that show.
Thank you.
It's a great show.
It's fun to write. I mean,
I can imagine
having sex and murdering folks. I mean,
what more could you want? Okay. It doesn't get better than that. So, you know, coming out to LA in like the first year you're here, mm-hmm. you work on the Jamie Foxx show and Moesha, both shows, which are great. You know, how did you
like, how did that happen?
How did that happen? Because it's such a, you know, you hear these stories like, oh, I came out to LA and like booked my first gig in like a month. You know what I mean?
I would never tell anybody to expect their story to be like mine, honestly, because it really was just Jesus. I didn't even know I wanted to write for TV. Like my degree is in advertising and public relations. Right. I never found work in either one of those fields when I graduated. I was working at a law firm and I was like, there's got to be something better. Right. And a friend of mine was doing something she was in grad school and they were screening a film of hers in LA. Her dad worked for the airports or the airlines. He gave us free tickets to come out to LA so I could support her. We went to a party, ran into a friend of ours from Hampton who was writing for the Jamie Foxx show. Nice. And I was like, wait, writing? And I've watched credits on TV shows my whole life. It right. still never clicked to me until I met somebody who actually was doing it. Huh. I was like, oh my God, because I always wanted to write. Love TV.
Right.
So I was like, this is perfect. Like, your peanut butter's in my chocolate. Your chocolate's in my peanut butter. It was perfect. So I went back home and I was like, I'm saving my money. I'm moving out. So I went back home.
What did your parents say to that?
They thought I was crazy. They didn't think I was going to go. My dad was like, she's not going anywhere. My mom was like, she might. I don't know. And then I got my ticket and they were like, oh my God, for real? And I was like, yes, I said I was going to do this. So my friend from college, who was my old college roommate freshman year, she was like, I just got downsized out of my job. I don't have anything to do. I'll move with you. We moved out to California.
You're like, stay with her uncle. Let's go there.
Yeah, let's do this. We stayed with our uncle. He let us stay at his house for free in Long Beach. So I did have a trek. Oof, but
that's a long drive.
It was a long drive. Well, at that point, I didn't have a job. So I didn't know where I was going to be working anyway.
You were like, but, I don't even know what that job is like.
I had no idea.
Because you're from Jersey,
LA traffic was
this was
like
from Jersey.
I'm from Jersey, but I'm from South Jersey. So it's totally different. Like,
wait, what's South Jersey?
No traffic, cows and chickens and... Wait, horses and whatnot. I'm very rural. We had a big old garden. People were like, you live on a farm? And I was like, kind of. But it wasn't a farm. But it was
what part of like Jersey? What's that? What part?
Williamstown.
Williamstown is farmy?
Nobody heard of it.
I didn't know that. No.
Yeah. So moved out here. The guy who was writing on Jamie Foxx show, he was like, send me your resume. If I know of anything, you know, I'll pass it along. And he did that really smoothly because he gave it to them. And they were like, yeah, bring her in for an interview. Came in, interviewed. I wore a suit, which if you know anything about this business, you do not wear a business suit in Hollywood.
Right.
I had on a navy blue
and a t-shirt.
Suit.
Jeans, t-shirts, and sneakers.
They told me later, they looked out the window and was like, who's this lady come up in here? Is she coming to audit us? But I had my interview. Everything went great. They hired me to be a PA.
Nice.
It was my first job. And then Jamie did a movie and the writer's assistant couldn't be gone for 2 months. I think it was 2 months we were down. I got to keep my job because somebody had to answer the phones. So everybody else was off for 2 months. I was answering the phones, got a check. That's what I said. It was nothing but God. And then she left. And so I was like, well, if you need a writer's assistant, I can type. And they were like, can you type fast? And I was like, of course. Like, oh, well,
you're like, I was working
at a law firm before, but I type weird. Like, I only type with these two fingers and my thumbs. But I was like, but I move fast. So they were like, okay. And they let me move up. So I was a writer's assistant then.
That is amazing.
That. There is like, that's the best on the job training you could ever have because you're in the writer's room.
Right.
So you see how how the sausages are made. That's probably a bad metaphor, but
that's a bad metaphor.
But that's, I mean, and then the writers were really generous as far as reading my stuff and giving me notes. And then.
But you are a comedy writer, so.
I am. So I'm always find a joke. I mean, it'll be funny to me.
You have to use where the sausages are made.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Yeah. And then my mind went somewhere else and I was like, bring it back, Lance. Reel it in. So yeah, my story was kind of fairy tale-ish because it was 2 months to the day that I moved out to LA. So
wow.
It was just like bam, bam, bam. And I knew people who had been out here for 2 years and had never gotten a job, never gotten an opportunity. And if it's meant to be, it's just meant to be.
It's a blessing.
It really was.
It's a real blessing.
Yeah.
I mean, and so being on the job like that and being in the writer's room like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was even when you were in the room like that, did your love for writing grow even more? I know you said you had already wanted to be a writer at that time, but like watching it, were you just like picking up kind of like through osmosis, just like watching what they were doing? And
I do feel like I grew as a writer just from being in that environment because like when I said I wanted to write, I always thought I'd write books and they were going to be like romantic novels and stuff. I was going to be sitting on
Flavio
a wraparound
on the cover.
Porch. Yes. Like it was going to be that kind of stuff. And I've always been like comical, but I don't I never shared that part of me with a lot of people. I was pretty much, if you met me, you'd be like, she's kind of serious. But then once you got to know me, you'd be like, she is a fool. So comedy wasn't even in my mind to do either. But I really feel like my comedy chops picked up working with comedians,
right.
Especially like Jamie Foxx and then Damon and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, those are top tier.
I know, right?
Comedic actors,
yeah,
right? Because,
yeah.
You know, I know Wayans do a lot of stand up,
yeah.
but just for television and then primetime television.
Yeah.
Right? Because it, you know, at that time, it wasn't really big on streaming.
Oh,
so,
no, we didn't even have streaming. This is before Netflix.
Right, so this is before streaming.
I'm old, girl.
Girl.
It's a state of mind.
That's
the first time I've ever said that, like before Netflix.
before streaming, because I think, you know, because now Papa's House, Damon Sr. and Jr. are still on primetime television. Yeah. And like, to see them still kind of with that legacy and the trajectory of the Wayans name,
yeah.
you know, and just getting inducted NAACP
yep.
Hall of Fame, yep. you know, as a family, and Keenan kind of leading the charge in that,
cool.
you know, it, you know, my wife and kids and, you know, working
the,
on.
I want to say the brothers. I'm talking about them. Yeah.
Second generation Wayans. Because those are like, and Jamie Foxx too. Like they just came from the Wayans kind of wheelhouse
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Right. You know, those are like, I couldn't like, and cause I was thinking about this when I was writing up, you know, your notes,
mm-hmm.
it was like, I can't even imagine, like, isn't that a certain level of pressure where you're like, I have to write jokes for these guys. Like,
you know, it's crazy that never even crossed my mind.
What?
And I don't even know how. I think it's just protection from God. You know, like he protects babies and fools. I honestly was not like, oh my God, the pressure to write for Jamie.
Not maybe the pressure like that, but just like, I hope they think this is funny. Like,
I think all writers are a little bit neurotic about that. Like, whatever. Because,
but then you have a Jamie Foxx, a Wayans. They just say regular stuff and it's so funny.
So there should be no pressure, right? Whatever they say is going to be funny. So just write what you write. You know what I mean? But that wasn't my mentality. I think
you're like, yeah, great. That's not what I was thinking. Right.
I mean, I had been in enough rooms. I'd seen how to write a script and there's a rhythm to it, I think.
Mm.
And it's nothing I could really explain, but I don't know. I feel like there's a rhythm to it, at least for me and how I write. And if it's funny to me, like I can visualize it. And as an avid television watcher, if it's funny to me, I feel like it'll be funny to enough other people.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think I've ever had a situation where I turned in a script and they were like, crickets. Like, that would be, I would just pack up and
you can and you continue to work, right?
Well, I know people who are not funny and they do continue to work. Yes. It's sad, but it's true. But my stuff is funny, so.
No, it is. It is. It is. It really is.
Yeah,
And I, you know, and we've talked about this before because it was during the pandemic when we did cocktails, movies and stuff. You know, mm-hmm. we did an interview and together and you were talking about being in the room and like mansplaining.
Oh, it's always
stuff.
Well, this business has typically been a man's business.
Right.
So women coming in already is like, what do you think you're going to do?
Right.
I have had a meeting with one person.
Really?
And a guy was like, I don't think women are funny.
What?
And I was like, I don't believe you're saying this in my face right
now.
How
long ago was this?
This was right after Wife and Kids ended. So that was like 2005.
Okay.
2006, maybe.
20 years ago, just about.
I know.
Sorry.
You don't have to point it out.
We're a little nostalgic here. Just a little.
But yeah. And he literally was like, I just don't think women are funny. So I was like, well, why'd you even bring me in here for this interview? I could have saved my gas money and stuff. Like, come on. That kind of attitude is going to probably always be in Hollywood. But
and it sucks because it's misogynistic.
And it's dumb. Just, I know so many funny women. Like, and I know he knows some of the people I know. So it's just like, he just wanted to be in.
Well, female.
I don't want to cuss on your show, but even,
no, go ahead. Go for it. I don't
asshole.
Care.
Asshole.
That's fine. Female comedians.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. How many?
If I say too much, you'll know who he is.
Tell us.
I will not.
We want to know.
Just know that he's not working right now, and I am.
But I'm from. Take that,
I mean,
buddy. Karma's a.
It is. And
yeah.
It is. And honestly, I feel like you have to kind of just do you. Don't worry about what other people are getting or what other people are doing, because it might look like, oh my God, how are the mean people winning? You know? They'll get theirs, and the good people will rise at some point.
Yeah. I feel like that's changing. I want to believe that that's changing.
I do, too.
Because you're in it more than I am in that sense.
I've seen certain scenarios where the tide is turning.
The tide is turning big, and I think people are over. I mean, we could go down this route, and I don't really want to, but Justin Baldoni. I mean, just what he's going through, mean guy, mean girl culture is over.
Mm-hmm.
I think being called out for what it is. I think, you know, people being bullied in that sense, that's what I feel. To me, that's what it looks like, you know, him doing his lawsuit, you know,
I don't know what's really going on with them.
You know, well, I just
I don't know the backstory. I just know that
the backstory was that they were trying to like kind of, you know, take credit for his work and what he had done, kind of, and he had built that project for five years, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, getting it to the point where, anyway, I don't want to talk too much about Blake Lively because I really don't care. But in that sense, where it's like the fact that he's getting so much support, you know, from the community saying, no, stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, stand up.
You have
stand
to.
Up, stand up for yourself.
People and, will walk all over you. And especially in this business. Yeah. I've heard so many stories about people stealing ideas. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't tell anybody. If I have an idea for something, they'll be like, what are you working on? Nothing.
Nothing.
Because well, you're not going to take my stuff.
I've learned that the hard way. But, and you know what? And, you know, I always try to, for anybody coming up in the business or whatever, or anybody I work with, it's like, go through the attorneys.
Right.
Always go through the attorneys.
You can talk to my agent. If
you and they're like, no, let's do it this way. It's like, all right. And then boom, you see it out in the world. And it's like, I try to tell you.
I don't even read people's stuff. People will be like, can you read something for me? And I hate to be like this, but I'm like, no, because if I'm writing something on my own and it happens to have something in there that is similar to what they gave me, then now they're going to be like, she stole my idea. Mm-hmm. I don't need that smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
So, sorry, I won't read your stuff.
Yeah, no, that's great.
God bless.
good luck to you.
I know. That's why I'm like, sorry, but good luck.
No, thanks. I just... Because you just recently worked with Tyler Perry as well, right? Mm-hmm. Tyler's something you can talk about or no?
Yeah. So the show that I'm show running right now, All the Queen's Men, it's under Tyler's production, or it's not his production company. It's under the studio.
Okay, okay.
So it's a Tyler Perry production but not the ones that say Tyler Perry presents.
Okay, okay.
Because he didn't create the show. Okay. So Christian Keys created the show, and Tyler's company bought it from Christian. Then now I'm show running it.
Wow. Okay. And that's, do you see, like, again, I'm trying to, like, be as cohesive.
I'm not getting in trouble with my boss now.
No. Not even him. No. I'm thinking more like you independently. Like, you've worked on all these big shows. So, like, is there something where we're one day going to see Valencia Parker presents, you know, like, are there stuff you're working on? Well, obviously you can't talk about it, but is there, you know, stuff that you're, because these are like big shows and big projects, right, that you get to be a part of or show run. But, you know, for anyone in the business that you know, is looking to break into the business, and again, the industry's changing a lot now too.
It is.
Because we've talked about this a ton of times where like the creator kind of economy. And I know that I've had producer Patrick on the show, who's been a voice, a resounding voice for the industry. And he was just up in Sacramento talking to lawmakers about, you know, the industry and bringing incentives back in California.
Stay in California.
I know that there's like $1 billion budget to try to fix Television City right here in Hollywood as well. Yeah. So like, I want to believe that they want to kind of bring projects back.
I hope
like that,
so. I mean, I think that's part of the whole facade of Hollywood, and you want to be out in LA. People move out here every day of the year, chasing a dream. But it's been cheaper to shoot stuff in Toronto or Atlanta or New Orleans or, you know, wherever. Right. So, I mean, I would love for them to. I mean, there's a lot of people who work, and to be honest, I don't know how people pay their bills if they're not in this business.
Right.
California is high. Right. So it would be nice if we could get more projects to stay here.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie. I do like traveling for work.
Oh, no. I think it's great. But and so that to that point, like, do you see yourself like kind of in this creator economy that we're in and moving into now? Mm-hmm. You doing your own thing?
Oh, yeah. That's always been the goal.
Like, okay.
Well, not always, but since I've been in the business, that's been the goal. I have ideas all the time. Sometimes I'll follow through and write something. Sometimes I don't. But yeah, I'm always going to try and sell something. Like when my season ends, it's like, get on the phone with my agent. Like, what's the deal? Can we attach somebody to this project? What are we doing here? I'm finishing this up. You know, so I'm always trying to do something.
What is your process when you sit down and write?
I don't think I have a process. Okay. I just will get an idea and then it'll be like, huh, that's interesting. And I might write it on a post-it or something. And if it just keeps speaking to me, like if it's just like, oh, just like that idea. Or if somebody says something, oh, just like if it, if the universe is pointing me to it constantly, then it's like, you need to write that one. Or there's been times where I've had an idea and it just was so funny to me. And I literally just, I wrote a pilot in a weekend one time. I saw a reality show that there was an instance in the show that made me laugh so hard. And I was like, that's a show. And I wrote a pilot about it. I'm trying to sell it now.
Nice. Yeah, nice. So. And do you feel like, again, and I'm trying to like go through different things because there's so much that I talk about here, which is like walking in purpose, mm-hmm. right? Like being in the room and writing from writer's assistant, and then you move on to like bigger shows mm-hmm. and start writing on bigger shows. Like, you know, for somebody that kind of it was presented to you in that way, it was, you know, it was like, here you go. It's like, did you feel like kind of that pushed you into like your purpose in that sense?
I do. I feel like my purpose in life is to bring joy. Aww. And that sounds so Pollyanna, like, whatever. But it is.
Right.
And I've found that I was walking in my purpose when I'm writing comedy. I never thought I'd write drama. And that just kind of fell in my lap, too. It mm-hmm. was the women who produced this show, and it's all women.
Nice.
And they, one of them had heard about me through somebody else. And she was like, she reached out and asked for a sample for another project that they were doing. And then they ended up not doing that for their production. Tyler ended up writing all the episodes. Mm-hmm. but she kept me in mind. Mm-hmm. And then when All the Queen's Men came up, she hit me up and was like, hey, we're thinking about bringing in somebody to do some rewriting. And I was like, you know, if it's feasible, because I also was like, I'm not rewriting for $3. Like, I didn't know what they were going to offer me money-wise. So I was right. like, we'll see, you know, throw me a number. Back up the Brinks truck.
Right.
We'll see. And then they ended up not calling me for the first batch of what they were doing. And then they had a meeting with me because I was like, hey, but I have this other project. If you guys would be interested in something, they had a meeting with me. And they were like, we're actually not really interested to read that yet. But would you be interested to come on? We're going to do a room. So I was like, oh, nice. Yeah. I thought they were just hiring me to be a writer on the show. So I was like, yeah, that's fine. And they were like, you know, we want you to run this, right? And I was like, no, I did not know. So, okay.
You hadn't run a room at the time?
I had not run a room before. And I had never done a drama before.
Okay. And so for people that don't know what a showrunner is.
So I run the writer's room.
Okay.
So that is when we put a room together of writers. I'm the head of it. I will map out what we're going to do for the season as far as each character, the storylines, all that. And then we just kind of brainstorm, okay, where are we going with this? So,
nice.
I mean, we have to run it through, it by studio also. But, yeah, it's our brainchild, basically. They had the idea already. They had the characters, and we just built on it.
Okay. And so you have to manage not only the room, but you're working with the studio.
Mm-hmm. I have to deal with notes with studio. I have to deal with the writer's room and the story and stuff. And then when I go down for production, when we actually shoot, then I have to deal with all the production stuff too as well.
So wow.
It's a lot, but it's fun for me.
Yeah.
So I think, what's that line? If you do something you love, it's like you never work a day in your life.
Right.
No, it's work. I'm not going front, but
you
it
got
is
long
fun.
Days.
Yeah, they're long days. But
writer
you know
days
what's funny?
Are long days.
When I was working at that law firm in Philadelphia before I even got in the business, I used to complain every minute of the day. Like I'd be there, and I didn't even have a lot to work. Of,
you were
like work
this
to
is
do.
Crap.
I was like a floating secretary for a while, and I literally would just sit there and read books all day. Every now and again, they'd be like, "Can you type this up?" And I'm like, "All right, nothing." And then they put me on somebody's desk. But the two men that I worked for, one of them was super self-sufficient. He never asked me to do anything. And the other one would barely ask me to do stuff. So I really didn't do a lot of work when I was there. But I was like, I hate this job. I don't want to be here. Because I just didn't want to be in that environment, you know. And I would complain about the days. And they were like 9 to 5. I never stayed longer. It was just an issue.
You were like, it's 4:30.
I really was like, it's time to go. And then I moved to California and I'm on the Jamie Foxx show. And there was like one night we were there till 2 a.m.
Wow.
And I'm just as chipper. And everybody was like, okay, why are you? I was like, nobody gets this opportunity. Are you crazy? Like, this is fun.
Right.
So, I mean, I wasn't in the room at that point, but it still was fun to be in the middle of the, you know, in the mix. And I remember talking to my parents and they were like 2 a.m. And I was like, yeah, but it was fine. And then my mom brought up, you remember when you were at that law firm and at 4:30, you'd be like, ugh, it's not even 5 o'clock. Like, you know? And I was like, yeah, I do. I remember.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing what you want to do, it doesn't seem as bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Walking in purpose,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Walking in kind of what we came here to do.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of what I talk about too is like being in a race of your own, right? So, you know, we're going to have ups, downs. We're going to plateau sometimes, have some tumbleweed moments.
Oh,
so
okay,
for you, so for you, if you were to give, you know, a young writer or somebody that wants to break into the industry or wants to maybe just create some original content, mm-hmm. what piece of advice would you give them to stay in a race of your own? And I know your race has been very unique and very kind of like self-sufficient in that sense.
But not always. Like I had years when I didn't work.
Right.
Like I was like, I don't know what is supposed to happen, but this ain't it, Jesus. and I had learning moments and I came out of it and, you know, everything worked out. But I think that's the advice. Like, if you know you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to have highs and lows. There's going to be, hills and valleys, but eventually you'll get back on course. You know what I mean? So stay the course. Like, if you know in your spirit that this is what you're supposed to be doing, don't give up. Like, continue to chase your dream.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I do feel like getting in the business is hard right now. Like, it's always been hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like it's a little easier, too, in some ways. Like, because of the internet and you can do stuff on YouTube. And if even on your Instagram or TikTok or whatever, stuff pops at any minute. You know Risa Tisa? When she did that...
Who Did I Marry? Yeah.
Now she's got a TV show. Like, you just never mm-hmm. know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep doing what you're doing.
Well,
you know?
There was a filmmaker, and I don't know his name right now, but he was talking about on TikTok how he put out some stuff on mm-hmm. TikTok, like little films and things that he was working on. And he's like, I had a better response there than I did at any film festival that I had been to.
Because you're reaching so much of a bigger audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people who have gotten jobs from, well, I don't know them personally, but I know people who have hired folks just because they like their TikToks.
Right.
No, I'm not doing that. I want to see a script. But
right. Right. Yeah.
Because like I'm like, that's you got a nice little situation. God bless them. But
there's like this balance. Mm. Right. There's this balance of like, I don't mind using TikTok to put this kind of content out and mm-hmm. reach people and like maybe get a message. But, you know, there's also other stuff that I'm working on that. No.
Right.
No. Like, I'm going to do it properly. It's going to be done the right way, the correct way.
And the thing is, each thing, like you said, properly, it could be proper to do something project this way and another specific project another way. Like, it's everything's different. So you got to feel what's best for, you know, you and each project.
Yeah. And I had another a producer, Delise, talk about that. I was talking to her about Tubi mm-hmm. and how people
talking bad about Tubi, but you know how folks are getting movies made daily.
And it's a rev share model.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if there's a way to make some money, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what those splits are, but mm-hmm. there's a way for people to make money on there.
Yeah.
Right? So why not? Especially for independent content. And, you know, again, going back to producer Patrick, we had a whole episode talking about independent filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally the same week, and I didn't even plan this, but the same week, the Oscars happened that same week that I released his episode, and mm-hmm. you know, Sean Baker won mm-hmm. For Nora.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting him when I had my short film at one of the Diversity in Cannes film festivals in Cannes, and Sean came to talk to us as filmmakers, as independent filmmakers.
Cool.
So to meet him at that time, and then a few years later see him win several Oscars was phenomenal. And for him to do his speech on independent filmmaking, it so gelled everything that I've been saying.
Yeah.
Like, I've been, and it's just like, again, walking in purpose, walking that walk. Right.
Yeah.
And just being like, just everything that we've known up until now is like null and void.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like, not to take anything away from Netflix, not to take anything away from like Amazon. Like, yes, those are still there. That's great.
Yeah. But there's other ways.
There's other ways. And I think just what the audiences are saying, what mm-hmm. consumers are saying, I think consumers are saying, I want to, what does Valencia have?
Mm-hmm.
Just outside of her world. I love her work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would love to see what Valencia has up her sleeve.
Yeah.
Why not? Right? Yeah. Like,
now,
I just think,
I'm not even going to front. I was like, I could just write a Tubi movie in a day and probably make some money.
I'm just saying.
Because the production value is not that great.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah. I wouldn't take my projects. Like you said, there's some places where you release it somewhere and some places, or some projects that you release other places. The stuff that I have now, I would not take to Tubi because I need a budget to make that happen the way I want it, you know, the way I'm visualizing it. But
let but to the same extent,
TV say, hey, you want to write a movie for $100,000? Well, they're not. I don't know what they're giving.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure. I don't know either. I don't know a lot of Tubi.
I have
content.
No idea what the, I want to ask people, but it's so rude to be like, what they pay you for that? I don't, but I want to know.
Tell me.
I really want to know. I'm just going to have to be rude one day and ask somebody because I really.
Well,
I'm
can't you just
curious.
Call Tubi?
No, what, they got an 800 number.
I don't know. I mean,
what y'all paying for a movie these
days? What are you giving people? Anyway.
I don't know.
No, but I'm sure
I
there's somebody
I feel like
there.
Somebody told me, I think my agent told me that the movies already have to be produced and then they buy it or something.
I'm sure.
I'm not sure how they work.
I'm sure there's like a thing there. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, now more than ever, it's people are you know, TikTok is saying they want to compete with Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, there's not a doubt in my mind there's going to be a film division on TikTok.
Not even TikTok. I'm sorry. YouTube. YouTube.
Well,
is
yeah, YouTube is already in the mix.
Yeah.
So,
YouTube is already like, we want to compete. So
yeah.
I don't know. I just, that's to me tempering the type of content and what people are really looking
and
for.
And that's why I'm saying like new kids coming in, and I say kids, but new people coming in.
Don't worry, it'll be edited out.
Okay. New people coming in have an opportunity to do something that we didn't have. Like,
right.
When I came in the business, there was internet. I'm not that old. But but nobody was like filming anything and putting it on YouTube. There was no YouTube.
Well, we have our phones.
I didn't even
that
have
shoot,
a phone. When
that
I moved
shoot 4K.
Out here, I think that was when I first got a cell phone. So, yeah, it
Girl,
was like 1999.
You didn't even have a beeper?
I didn't. I never had a beeper. I just never did.
No but two-way? You didn't have a two-way?
I didn't. And I'm what? Mad I didn't have a two-way.
You had to have the SkyTel two-way.
The SkyTel page? I never had them. My friends had them, but I was like, I don't have that.
Womp, I always have kind of beeper. SkyTel. Anyway, thank you so much, Valencia, for being
You're
here.
Welcome.
I so appreciate all your feedback and your time, and I really appreciate it. And where can people find you?
They can find me at... Where can they find me?
Instagram?
Yes, TikTok? I'm on Instagram as Lentz Parker.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm Lentz Parker on TikTok too.
They'll find
know.
You.
There's nothing on TikTok but my personal stuff, so y'all don't need to find that. You, I have a little bit of work stuff on Instagram at least, but yeah, at Lentz Parker.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being
You're
here.
Welcome.
And this was A Race of Your Own. I'm Virgie Rodriguez. Please subscribe. Leave us your comments. Tell us what you think. You got some questions for Valencia? Let us know. If you're an aspiring screenwriter, showrunner, just let us know. And we'll see you next time. Peace.
Cheers.